Welcome to Clay and Iron, and I'm Dr. Bill Deagle, MD, and Sherry Edwards is my special guest today. Of course, she's the director and founder of Sound Health and has a program here on BBS Radio. Welcome to the program today, Sherry.
Thank you. It is great to be here.
Well, it's nice to be able to interview one of your colleagues on the same radio network. And, of course, I'd like to hear more of a kind of a summary of how you got to know this amazing new area of bioacoustic health and how you got drawn into it, either with your own individual talents, your experiences. How did this happen? And, of course, what kinds of applications are happening with the idea of your company, Sound Health? And give us a little background.
Well, it's really simple. I heard sounds from people, and everybody thought that was impossible, including my colleagues at the speech and hearing department at Ohio University.
Right.
And I would hear sounds, and I would know things about people, so they just thought I was very psychic. And then we started looking at people's voice to see if what I was hearing, maybe the same sound was manifesting in their voice, and it was. And then Wendell Brown from Johns Hopkins University proved that what I was hearing was an otoacoustic emission, so emissions that you send out all the time that are above normal hearing. And my hearing was kind of weird. I can hear levels that other humans can't.
Yeah, you mean you can hear higher frequencies, right?
Yes, and sounds coming
out. How high a frequency would that range go to?
I'm not allowed to tell.
Okay, well, let me tell you a little bit about myself. I was also tested and found that I had super high frequency acuity as well, but I never had your kind of experiences, but did notice that I was very intuitive and seemed to know things. Interestingly, we find that dolphins are an example, and some other mammals that are ocean-going have a remarkable capacity. And also, if you put a person that has unwellness problems into a chamber with the dolphin, they know intuitively immediately what's wrong with that person. And I believe it must have something to do with what you discovered, the special talents and abilities you had.
Well, two things there. What they find a dolphin does is scan you over an entire range, and then what you didn't give back to them, they forward to you. So it's like some of these healing machines out there that's testing people what frequencies they have or don't have. And dolphins have a peculiar harmonic in their voice of like 1 to 6. And humans have 1 to 5. And because I have that high hearing, my harmonics are 1 to 5. I bet yours are, too.
Yeah.
But this is snowballed. We started doing the research.
So how did they make the connection, though, between your capacity and the huge leap to somebody actually thinking of the bright idea of testing the voice to see if that there was some kind of congruence? That's remarkable.
Well, it was just an accident, because what we were doing was I would run out and listen to people's voice and record them and go back to the studio and put them on the spectrograph, and it took us 3 or 4 days to do a voice. And one day this lady says, you know, I have a piano tuner here, a little cork piano tuner. Why don't you just see what's going on with the voice as you're listening to them, because you're asking them to talk to you. And what we discovered is the sound that I was hearing was a sound that was stressed in the voice. So it snowballed from there, and then a couple of years ago we finally figured it out physiologically, that there's a recurrent laryngeal nerve that runs the vocal cords.
Right.
And that is a direct connection to the brain through the vagus nerve. And so from there on out, it just fell into place that the vocal cords vibrate with your ability to stay in stasis through this vagus nerve that is also controlling your vocal cords.
Right. So in other words, basically there's a very strong physiological basis that shows, in a sense, this is where I kind of go back out to kind of maybe some of my theories about how this works, is I believe that we have a holographic fractal universe that is both sound harmonics and scales, as well as light harmonics and scales, electromagnetic harmonics and scales, and they're all conjoint, they're all interactive, and they're all, if you want to call it, multidimensional. So obviously what you're able to do with your super senses.
Well, we see that every day. We put everything in a computer because I can't get to everybody.
Right.
But we use that whole system every day. And the formulas that we use are fractal-based.
Right. And of course, the fractal universe idea is that, as the old saying is, as below, above, that literally the little designs that we see in terms of frequencies of sound also make the imprints to regulate the genetics of the person. Their health and wellness is reflected as a fractal of their voice is an extension of what's going on in the physiology that regulates the genetic activation, their toxins, their there are other stressors that are occurring, like we talked about this off air about depleted uranium. You can, there should be certain frequencies that will show up when someone has DU poisoning. Is that right?
Absolutely. The brain is organized mathematically, and so is your biology. It's called computational biology. And I was fascinated by the show that you did with the, I can't remember his name, on depleted uranium. And since I have a couple of nephews in the war, I decided to see what was really happening with this. So I took that information apart mathematically, because not only can we look at the voice to see how that's going to affect someone, and there are several different factors, but we now backed into a system that we can take something like depleted uranium, and we can look at its mathematical scale, and we can tell what's going to keep it healthy, what's going to cause it to not work well, what it needs or what a human needs to make all of it work and make its body, in the case of depleted uranium, throw it off, but in the case of maybe calcium, to embrace it.
Right. In other words, you're able to, with your using your mathematical calculations, you can actually figure out which enzyme pathways are affected, what will help the person detox, and what will help them heal themselves from this toxin.
Absolutely. And
so,
it's all in the math.
Yeah, that's remarkable. Now, how did you guys stumble onto the math? I mean, obviously, that's another major leap. So you had to be very curious to discover this next leap of being able to actually figure out the use of the, if you want to call it, the fractal harmonics of the molecule. My theory that I proposed when I was doing work on phonon maser waves, which are basically sound waves that have infrared light spectrum and electromagnetic signatures, are all coherent. So in other words, the electromagnetism, the electrical activity, the sound, and the infrared are all coherent and codependent, if you want to call it, so that the infrared light literally regulates the molecular structure and the genes and throughout your body. And they're coded in codes of hierarchical control, so that literally the sound harmonics and the infrared harmonics and these coherent electromagnetic harmonics actually regulate the very structure of you are what you are as a being. So
yes,
it's not at all surprising that you made this remarkable and just amazing discovery.
Well, thank you. It was a trial and error, but like a case we had this morning, a guy came in. Well, he'd had cancer, he had heart disease, he had diabetes, several things. And it ended up being the amino acid taurine. And he had had an operation several years ago on his neck that took out part of the muscles of his face and neck, and the muscle frequencies were the same as the taurine. So them messing with his neck muscle caused his taurine to be depleted, because the muscle and the biochemical, or the amino acid, is exactly the same frequency.
Right.
It's in a different range or a different harmonic. And by trial and error, we just discovered the harmonics, and it makes it very, very predictable what's going to happen to someone.
Right. So, in other words, there's a lot of new bioharmonic, or called ERT, or electroresonance technology supplements out now. In fact, on my website now, I have ones from Generation Plus. It's made by Dr. Kron, a Russian physicist. We have BioPro, which makes ERT technologies. That's on my website, NutriMedical. But I believe that the level of technology could be advanced significantly, perhaps collaborating with some of the stuff that you're doing and what we're doing, and I'll be doing with Dr. Fred Bell on scalar harmonics, because I really believe that there's a cohesive principle in physiochemical properties that actually regulates the sound, the infrared, and the electromagnetic and the light. And in a sense, this is like the scalar harmonics, like Nikola Tesla discovered in physical systems, that work in all biological systems.
Well, we are able to give somebody two frequencies that make four, that make eight, that make 16, and they go right through the octaves of all the systems.
Right.
We know that emotional system is 8 to 16 cycles per second, and the nutritional cycles are 4 to 8 cycles per second. So we can see in the voice to where to directly hone in, provide the frequency, and by the waveforms that we use, we found a way into the brain to interfere with what the brain is doing on its own.
Right. So these are very low frequencies that are, of course, the frequency levels that are much lower than the frequencies that a normal human ear can hear.
Yes, we combine it. 0 to 64 cycles per second is the established brainwave principle.
So right. And, of course, we know that specific frequencies. So, yeah, that's really fascinating. So it also means that not only do, let's say, intentions, thoughts, and information that regulates your genes have, in a sense, a sound, an infrared, or an electromagnetic presence, but they also have these remarkable properties that make them part of the fractal universe. They're almost non-local as well. How does that work?
Different harmonics of each other.
Right.
And we can go in and look at the body in the level of harmonics. Do you remember a couple of weeks ago when I was scheduled to be on your show? And
right.
My daughter was having her baby, and it was supposed to be a really routine thing. They were going to induce labor because she had had C-sections before.
Right, so they're going to do a pit trip, right?
Yeah, and we went into the hospital early. We took her prints before. We took her prints when they were dropping in the Pitocin. We watched the dosage. And they started this at about 8, and by 10, I could see in her vocal print that her body was creating the antidote to Pitocin and the antidote to any contractual proteins or contracting proteins.
Right.
I knew she was in trouble then. They didn't figure it out until 2 o'clock in the morning, and she ended up having an emergency C-section at 3:30.
Really?
So having
something like this is a remarkable non-invasive technology that could direct you in terms of doing the immunological, the physical tests, the electromagnetic, the other imaging tests that could help with health care, with wellness, with toxic environments, with warning people about future dangers of in nutritional and toxic imbalances and so on.
Absolutely. In the case of this threatened flu pandemic, we have not only decoded the genes for the flus, we've decoded the proteins for it, and the proteins are much more important than the genes. The
right.
Proteins run the show, so we have that now in a database. And think about allowing this to go online, so anybody who has a computer can pick up their computer and blah, 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 this is what I did today, and we can look at that bird flu in a genomic state when it first comes in, before it ever starts producing the proteins that make you ill. It's much like, here's a cold, and you don't get sick for 3 or 4 days because that gene doesn't have time to set up housekeeping
right.
and throw off the proteins. Think about monitoring health and geographic location. Think about looking at a building that is high security and somebody's put some kind of toxin in it. Everybody in that building could take their print every day, and we could see it coming. We could see it start to manifest before it ever started symptoms.
Yeah, and I think this could be applied to almost anything, whether somebody's at risk of a stroke, a heart attack, a neuropathy, any problem that's in the process of developing. And, of course, one of the things that you mentioned to me off air, which I found very interesting, and, of course, I not only believe this, I know it as a fact, that one of the problems that we have in our modern world is we don't realize that the past and the present and the future are all very non-local phenomena that you can actually detect prints that show abnormalities that may not yet have happened but are in the process of happening.
Absolutely we can. We can look at 30 days out, absolutely. We've tested that with lab tests. Now, we can't say you're going to break your arm on Thursday or trauma, but we can certainly look at your biochemistry. We can look at your genes, what you've been exposed to, and we can tell you what's coming. We're doing a project this week on Lyme's disease and putting together a template for it. And we can watch the mutations of the Lyme disease in the vocal print instantly before it ever has to go to a lab and be cultured and all that.
Right.
It's there.
This is very similar to the Rife microscope, only looking at it in sound.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, he was using basically two different lights that were out of phase so that he would create an interference pattern. What you're doing is you have the supercapacity to hear these low-frequency sounds and then convert it into scientific technology. I guess there's some companies that have actually tried to get the older versions of your technology and actually use it for their development of drugs and so on. How does that work?
Yeah, well, there's a time domain and a frequency domain, and we started with time domain. So if you say, how, now, brown cow, you can see it in your voice.
Right.
But we have developed algorithms specifically for our work that we can look at frequency domain. So if you play the sounds or the vocal sample that you've given us, it won't sound like your words. It'll sound like, you know, from highest to lowest.
Right.
And we can look at the architecture, whether or not a frequency is a pathogen, a toxin, whether it's early, whether you've had it a long time, whether it's a muscle, a gene, a protein, an amino acid, we can look at all of that. And looking at this depleted uranium that we're talking about, when we decoded it, the frequency of it disturbs the encoding amino acids, meaning it disturbs the process between your DNA, which is your pattern, and your RNA, which keeps the pattern.
Right.
And we could follow right down through that it was going to interfere with people's blood sugar, their B12, their thyroid, their linoleic acid, their hemoglobin, and we don't know which one it's going to manifest in a person because everyone's different, but we can take the vocal print and see how it's manifesting and reverse it, because if we can find the frequency, we know how to find the antidote.
Yeah, well, what's neat to me is that you can actually go back to specific metabolic pathways. For example, I've been working on a paper, actually a treatise with Dr. Lorraine Murray that we're going to hopefully publish internationally on depleted uranium.
Mm-hmm.
And no one's done this, but there's at least 8 different forms of toxicity from DU, and I'll just go through a few of those for the sake of those who want to listen. Firstly, it's a radioisotope, so it's not depleted at all. It's only one of the isotopes. So it releases low-level radiation. So it does cause some alpha particle and some high-energy beta particle emissions. The next thing that you have to be aware of is that it's primarily a heavy metal toxin, and it's very, very damaging to mitochondrial DNA. So it damages that DNA, and it damages your regular DNA by creating the thymidine dimers in the regular DNA and cross-linking it. But it also is toxic to metabolic pathways like the hexose monophosphate shunt that regulates the conversion of sugars through glycolysis into energy and high-energy phosphate and NADH. So I'm getting a little technical here, but your system is actually able to go through all these different metabolic pathways and actually pick out where it will hit those particular choke points where the depleted uranium has specific effects, which explains the clinical presentation of somebody, let's say, that had a high DU exposure, like one of the gentlemen that I had a very significant report on. He was actually inside rescuing somebody from a Bradley that had friendly, what they call friendly fire, I don't think it's very friendly, bounced around inside a Bradley, and of course the shell, when it bounced around, caused a lot of nanoparticles. So he only had 5 or 6 breaths, went home, probably lost 70 pounds in a month, became very wasted, and then died very promptly afterwards because he had a very high concentration, we call it zone one concentration effect. And it was primarily metabolic. He actually lost muscle and weight faster than if he had been starved to death and didn't have a calorie in an entire month. And that's because of these metabolic effects. What you can do is you can actually identify which pathways are out of balance, and then you could probably screen them in the field and say, look, this is what is wrong. You need to get these people out of this high zone contact area, and you need to get them off and detox them. You can even solve the issue as to what's out of balance.
It's all math, and we can look at it globally by just looking at depleted uranium and knowing what will keep it balanced. Then we can look at someone's vocal print and see where their weakness is, so that's where they're going to be attacked, and then we can try those numbers on them and create an antidote for them by way of frequency, and it artificially entrains their brain, and we send the information through their skin right now. But we are developing technology that will allow us to target certain organs.
Right, okay, now, so you're sending it through their skin as a vibration?
Yes, as a frequency, yes.
Oh, okay, so it's not through their ear, it's going to be through their skin.
Well, your skin has auditory receptors.
Right, yeah, it's interesting, most people aren't aware that 90% of your auditory receptors are in your cochlea and your inner ear, but the other 10% are in your skin and all the other organs around your body.
We can use headphones and send it directly through the ear, but
right.
It's 5 times more effective if we send it through the skin. We see these chemical pathways and cascades, and what we call them are mathways, because the math is highly predictable. And we can test anybody on anything. Like, we can put your voice in and test you on calcium, and we can see exactly where your frequency fault is on calcium.
Right, so you can find out where the problem is, if they've got a vitamin D deficiency or they've got a calcium-magnesium imbalance or tauric acid, whatever it is, it's out of balance, right?
Yeah, and we have templates for things like vaccination risk factors and heart factors and vision, and we're just doing one on pregnancy and one on Lyme, and we're doing one on metabolic process. So this will be online soon, and people will be able to test themselves. This is a new field of science, and we call it sonistry, just like chemistry.
Right.
Only we're doing less sound. We're calling it sonistry.
Yeah, that's really amazing. Now, of course, the neat thing, and that's where I want to eventually have a kind of a conjoint talk with Dr. Fred Bell, because he's the expert on scalar harmonics. And my background is looking at what I call phonon maser genetics, which I actually worked out the quantum equations 23 years ago of how the body is actually these, if you want to call it these quantum scalar harmonics, so both sound, infrared, light waves that are based on the molecular structure, and these electromagnetic and electrical pathways that are superconductors in the body. So the body is literally an intelligence electromagnetic being that both has sound and infrared harmonics. And what's so amazing is all of these things are being revealed now in our day. So obviously we're getting an answer to a very significant challenge to not only all the life forms on Earth, but also to our health nowadays with this amazing technology.
Well, there's two things about that. This has been around for a long time. People didn't know how to quantify it. Because when you put our name and what we're doing and some of the terms we're using in the Bible code, it's all there. So it's been here a long time.
Well, of course, they've known this for many, many thousands of years. In fact, it talks about in the Bible that they talk about that the word, which is logos or sound, literally by the words, the world was created. The world, in a sense, is a fractal universe that's a production of specific scalar harmonics of sound, light, and energy.
Well, a lot of the information is in the Bible already. We backed into it in the book of Numbers. That's amazing what's in there.
Tell us about that.
It's all based on 3, 6, and 9, or a base in 90 degrees away and then 180 degrees away. So the formulas need to be based that way.
Well, so in other words, what you have is you have a system that's very similar to musical harmonics and specific musical scales.
Yes, but everybody has their own scale, everybody has their own harmonics, and you can find it in the voice.
And how isn't that amazing?
How they respond is how we put the information back. You have to have the right frequency, you have to have the right format for the frequency, and you have to have the activator. And we've decoded those activators.
What's an activator?
Okay, if you put in aspirin and it doesn't do any good, we know the frequency that will activate aspirin. Or activate a DNA code for anti-aging, or activate or deactivate a bird flu protein.
So in other words, if you put the right frequency in, you should be able to turn off the ability of the virus to invade tissues, like the two-stage receptor binding domain attaching to the cell and the splitting of the H gene into H0 and H1.
Mm-hmm.
Those particular steps, you should be able to put in a frequency that actually blocks that process, thereby changing the infectivity of the host.
Absolutely, and the voice will tell you what that formula is.
Yeah, what's amazing is that we're moving into a whole new age of knowledge and a whole new level of science that's going to make it'll complete genetic science. For example, one of the things that Raymond Rife discovered was he developed this idea of a Rife microscope. I've actually postulated 23 years ago this idea of a phonon maser microscope that would look and see not only the scalar sounds, but also these infrared light and electromagnetic frequency waves. You could actually see the part of the DNA that's rung by the specific frequencies, and you could actually decode the code of how the DNA and so on builds an organism, because only about 3 or 4% of your DNA actually codes for alleles or proteins. The other 90-some percent in all organisms actually codes for how to build it and how for that organism to function as a being.
Jim Minsky is doing information about that at UCLA. They've actually set up a decoding device where they can look at the frequency of an atom.
Right.
Now, they haven't been able to do the activator yet, but they can look at the frequencies of atom. And he said in an article a couple years ago, if only we could find a way to use this for health and healing. Now, we've been here 20 years doing it for health and healing.
Now, of course, they're trying to get your information, and I heard that Pfizer was using an older version of some of your information for drug studies. How do they do that?
They take a base on the voice, and they give them the drug, and they see what the voice, how the voice changes, all the anomalous frequencies that come up that weren't there before.
So they can see side effects,
yes.
The therapeutic dosage ranges, mm-hmm. Toxic effects, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, they're calling them biomarkers. But we were just contacted this week by a competitive pharmaceutical, and they've asked us to come and talk to them, and it'll put Pfizer miles behind anything.
Yeah, so in other words, biotech development, and also the thing with growing crops, because obviously, you know, you're very intuitive, and so am I. You know that we're all connected to all living things. I mean,
absolutely.
People who don't know that just don't understand it. When I go out, whether it's pets or living things, and walk around, I feel and know their energy, if you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
And that energy basically is sound, light, and electromagnetics, and we're connected. And what you're really saying is if you could pick up the harmonics, you could make a tree grow healthy, you could make a crop grow healthy and non-toxic, you could prevent bugs or pests from causing harm to the crops without any toxins. You could specifically put out harmonic frequencies that would grow things, just like sonic grow. You've heard about that.
Don Carlson stuff is great for this.
Right.
One of the things we've decoded is the pheromones for the bugs. So
right.
It'll scatter them or attract them to a trap. So it's a
right.
great pest control, too.
Right. And, of course, you don't have any food if you don't have honeybees, so you need to have the right frequencies to attract the honeybees to pollinate. But you want to get rid of the pests, and you can do the same thing that Ron Carlson's work on. Sonic Grow is amazing, and I have that available on my website, too, through our store from Nick Begich, who's a former congressman from Alaska. He's a teacher on all kinds of mind technologies and environmentalism. And it's important to realize that these technologies really are available right now, and, of course, you're at the very forefront of this. Very important answers to a lot of major challenges. And I have to tell people, I don't want to show them things that are bad, like depleted uranium, without a solution. Because there's no point in me just showing them the edge of the abyss, like children, without showing them that I can cover the abyss, I can put a ladder or a railing around it, I can give them a solution to it, so they don't need to be fearful. And that's what we want people to do, is we want to realize that there is a solution to all of these things. And in fact, I'm going to give many of these solutions at my presentation with Dr. Fred Bell at the conference coming up shortly at the Aliso Creek Inn, and that's where you can go to Dr. Bell's site, his energy and light program on BBS radio, and do contact the 800 number there, and you can actually register, because this seminar is going to be amazing, and we're going to be talking about technology you don't think exists. Many of these technologies have existed for thousands of years or longer. A lot of them are returning. There never is anything really newly discovered. It's just rediscovered. Some of these things are extremely ancient, and they're literally the heritage of what we are as beings.
Well, we've just scratched the surface of what's available with the numbers.
Yes, exactly. Now, tell us where all of this is going in terms of restoring health and detoxifying the world and improving the supply of food. For example, Ron Carlson's work with Sonic Grow is amazing. He's working with countries over in Asia where he's reversed countries that had not enough food to supply with their net exporters, and they don't need to use any toxic pesticides.
I think it's going to change this dismal health system that is in our country. Because we can predict what's going on. We can look at people's DNA and see where there's shortages and what's happening.
Right.
This is going to become as common as you go into the doctor and them sticking a thermometer in your mouth. They're going to take your vocal print, and they're going to be able to do preventive medicine instead of symptomatic catch-up medicine. And
now,
I think it's also going to keep the government from mandating things like vaccinations and who gets care. And because we, the people, have the control now because we've got these systems that all the people are developing, and we need to have a conference where we bring all of these leaders together so we can start putting this together in one pot.
Absolutely, and here's the thing is that, you know, spiritually all of these solutions, all of these answers are here. They're here now. For example, with nutraceuticals, with electromagnetic potentiated, with sonic potentiated nutraceuticals, all of the solutions to these problems, whether it's shortages of food, the use of toxins, pesticides, detoxifying our world, is all possible now.
It's all called bioacoustic biology.
Right.
It is the new field of medicine and biology and crops and shark repellent and growing crop. I mean, I can't think of anything this couldn't be used on.
Yeah, and of course, this also ties into what we call bioacoustic pollution, too.
Yes.
Just like electromagnetic, people don't realize there's a lot of sounds that are occurring that are very dangerous, not only to us, but other life forms. And one of the things is these new sonic communication systems that the British and Americans are using that are destroying the great whales in the oceans. And we've talked to Nick Begich about it. Not only do we not change our shipping lines because they're transecting or crossing the great whales' migratory patterns, so it kills many of them, but we're also putting out signals that are actually causing them to literally go crazy. So they beach themselves, they get totally disoriented, and they die. And the reason is we should learn how to share the planet with these great creatures and not think that they are inferior to us, but they're just different.
Frequency is, and you can probably finish the sentence with anything, frequency is the least common denominator. Everything gets to your brain as frequency because your ear changes it, your eyes change it, all the frequency, and frequency ranges. It gets interpreted by the brain, sent back out, and that system in your ear, out your mouth, it is a health system, and
right.
We need to use it.
Now, I want to get into a new, different area, and I'll spring this on you. I really believe that people's spiritual intentions actually is distributed in their frequencies and their voice as well.
Absolutely. We have a new program called N-Voice, not I-N, but just N-Voice. And we can look at people's spirituality, their personality, their ability to get along with people, their problems, what their challenges are, all in that one program, and it's almost instant printout. You talk for maybe a minute, and it takes longer to print it out than it does for the computer to churn that out. This is like a 20-year love of showing people what they really are by the frequencies.
Now, one of the things that might be interesting is not only to put these into systems, like you mentioned before, the program, that you have a system where people can get earphones and they can get these analog sound generators that can actually generate the right therapeutic sounds.
Yes.
It would be nice if we could implant and print those frequencies into solutions of, let's say, drops. Like, for example, one of the companies I have on my network is Global Light Network that has these harmonic frequency-generated things that affect different spiritual functions. With your bioacoustics, you should be able to imprint them into a solution of things that are what I call special carriers. And I discovered the best carrier in the world, and it was actually discovered by a Jewish gentleman. His name is Stan Shulman. I'll be meeting in California. He actually is working on a very big project and technology that I've developed for blocking pain, blocking the primary pain gate. And we discovered a way of using his very special electrolyzed plus water, and it's unique in the whole world. There's nothing like it. The water in Japan and China, anywhere in the world, there's nothing like this particular water that he's developed. There's nothing, okay? And the reason is it's based on some proton technology that's so advanced that and he got it in the division because he spent $3.4 million trying to make this miracle water from Asia stable, and nobody could do it. All the scientists couldn't do it. So he went to bed at night, had a decision, told the scientists, go do this, and they did it, and it worked. And sir, nobody has anything like it. Now, the interesting thing is it takes an imprint of energy, frequency, sound, and harmonic energies, and stores it like the research from Masumu Emoto, the expert in Japan, has developed all these pictures of water molecules frozen in different shapes depending on the sounds, literally like the sound of music and harmonic and good and bad intention. And I believe intention itself has a frequency that affects biosystems and the world itself. The very nature of reality itself is affected by harmonic sounds. Would you agree on that?
Absolutely. Where we get in trouble is we put conditions on it and kind of send it in straight directions.
Yeah, but how is that now? To qualify that by conditions?
Okay, if intention was all there was, then whoever had the most people at the ball game would win.
Right.
But they have to have a pure intention and not want to do it for another reason. Like, okay, I bet on that. Okay, this is my self-power. Okay, well, it's my team. It's got to be a pure intention for whatever's the betterment of all mankind without the crud that people attach to it for whatever reason, because that sends it in a non-linear direction and scatters it. You could say it.
Right. That's why, for example, two people of very high intentional vibration that don't have any self-serving purposes,
yes,
can create a very powerful, what I call, ripple effect that goes through the entire continuum of existence. They can change the nature of whether people intend to go to war or do destruction to each other or hatred or destroy the environment. And those powers of intention are not dependent on numbers. They're dependent on the level of spiritual consciousness that is selfless and not turned back toward themselves.
I saw this happen when we went to some party, and my friend had just gotten married, and I wanted her to get this knife set, and that was my intention. I wanted her to get it, and I got it. So I gave it to her. But the intention was for something else and somebody else and loving somebody, which
right.
is a great intention, too. So
yeah, in fact, that's the whole purpose. In fact, when people say, well, I want to have a good friend, well, be a good friend. Yeah. If you want to be successful, help someone else be successful. If you want to do good in business, help someone else be good.
I start my day with this prayer of allow this day to be for the benefit of all concerned. Now, if people don't understand, even allowing somebody else to pray over your food puts their energy in it, not yours. Pray over your own food.
Yeah.
So this idea of intention makes things compatible with what's pure for the universe. We each have our part. We need to be there.
Exactly, yeah. And what's amazing is that we should be able to actually generate put generators together. One of the things I'm going to be discussing with Dr. Fred is the idea of making what I call positive intention generators that literally can generate specific bioharmonic generators. Because I believe what we have right now in the world is we have a state of fear, which is not healthy. We have a state of negative electromagnetic pollution. We have sound pollution. We have heavy metal pollution and toxins. We have what I call negative energy thought pollution. We have pollution of the soul, where the negative intentions of people build upon themselves and create an environment that feeds on itself and creates more dark, what I call dark energy.
Control, power, non-responsibility. I think that's how the government got in such bad shape, and the healthcare system.
Of course it does. The evil always grows. We want to call evil the opposite of living, which is backwards live. It grows between the gap between responsibility and authority. And what you've done is basically gone back as a straightforward person, said, look, I have this special gift. I have an intention of using this for good to others. Let us bring this to the world to solve a lot of those issues and problems.
Well, I think in the beginning with humans, it was like survival, and then supernatural or whatever, God's law. We begin to live by God's law and what made us feel good. Then we added man's law when we had fights. And now I think we're living under the law of economics, and it's going to break us unless we, the people, bring out these technologies that have a purity in them and go back to the beginning.
I think that the idea of running a world based on what are called economics.
Yes.
As soon as you create debt, someone always becomes a loser.
Yes. That's good. There's always somebody that loses.
As soon as you create debt, and in fact, our entire world, the financial system, the fractional reserve system, interlocking world debt, Reaganomics, is all based on the idea that someone has to lose. And in fact, right now, the great weapon is not nuclear weapons. It's not even toxic weapons. It's the weapon of huge American debt that will crush the whole world if they dare not buy our bonds and so on. And in fact, we not only have the large stick of our huge military force, but the more serious thing is that it's a Ponzi game where the finances, if they don't continue, that we literally built the economies of Asia by transporting and exporting all of our technologies and business and pollution to these countries. Now, if they refuse to buy it, they'll basically collapse. And I think that's evil. I just think it's an evil thing. It's not the way the world should be run. The world should not be run on debt, which means always someone loses. And there's always these cycles of death and rebirth. It doesn't need to be that way.
When you go back and look at the beginning and look at all the beginning frequencies, because everything has a frequency, and you start putting them together, they make sense. Things like the sound of calcium and the sound of magnesium build bones, right? When you put them together, they equal the bone matrix proteins. And so I started looking at that. And you can even go deeper into these frequencies. And if you take the frequency, say, of water plus the frequency of nitrogen, it equals the frequency of oxygen.
Right. Isn't that amazing?
And if you take the frequency of oxygen minus nitrogen, it equals RNA and ATP, which you were just talking about a few minutes ago, all the energy cycles of the body. And oxygen minus hydrogen equals nitric oxide for cell respiration.
Right.
And you can watch these combinations move from the beginning of creation and right on down to like oxygen plus hydrogen equals sex hormones if you use nitric oxide. I mean, the formulas are immense in showing at the beginning and how human life began to happen, and then all the sex hormones. You can watch it. Here's physical, here's respiration starts, and you can watch it in the number patterns. Just like
in other words, if mathematics is the king of the universe, the king of of all creation than the queen is sound.
Well, sound is just one form of frequency.
Right.
Sound is
all
color,
frequencies.
You know, sound is color. Oh, this reminds me. Sound is color, sound is light, sound is emotion. But one of the things that people who work with sound and color make a big mistake is they must consider brain dominance. We learned this with a project with Wright-Patterson Air Force Base.
Right.
They were trying to get us to do a flickering light with a sound to keep their pilots from going into stress.
Right.
And one of my specialties, you know, in my graduate days was learning modality. And we were looking at this 8 cycles per second of red light. And it worked for 40% of the people, everybody that was left-brained. But if we did 8 cycles a second with a green light instead of red, then we got the other 40%, the right-brainers. What this means is that left-brainers, color and lights are opposites. So if you have a note of C, which by math is the note of red,
right,
and you give the note of C and a red color to a left-brained person, you've just countered it. It balanced each other away.
Right. In other words, the color and the light cancel each other out.
Yes, but for right-brained people, you can use the note of red with the color red, and they receive it as if they were getting the opposite, too.
Oh, yeah.
People forget that.
That's really fascinating.
It's the same with homeopathic and allopathic. Allopathic responders are usually left-brained. But a homeopathic responder is usually right-brained. So these people out here doing homeopathic remedies and getting 40% of their cure, they need to figure out how to give the other brain dominance or the opposite of the homeopathic, and I think they'll get a lot more response. So this left and right brain stuff in the universe, I think, is an intimate part of making the whole system work.
And that's very interesting. It means that that if they were able to do that correctly, they would actually find the converse of their frequencies that they're generating in their homeopathic remedies would probably, or there would be different, what I call, harmonic points that needed to be put in the remedy.
Or spin it the opposite direction. I think this is what people were trying to tell us in ancient times about yin-yang, positive-negative.
Right.
And I think there's a whole new system, it's old, just now beginning to look at it, new system of genetics, electromagnetic genetics, rather than physical genetics by skin color and eye color and hair and height and all that stuff.
And exactly.
A new way to see us as units or tribes here on the planet. And once you figure out which electromagnetic system you belong to, then you can go back and look at your DNA and fix it. It's awesome.
Yeah. So this is one of the major keys too, to unlock not only anti-aging technology, but to find your DNA polymorphisms or detox weakness, which you can prove by measuring the genes now, because we have the Human Genome Project and lots of labs like Great Smokies and other labs that can actually measure your DNA levels of specific genes of how you detox, but also finding out if there's a weakness or a problem in a particular area that needs to be solved. And then you can develop not only a lifestyle, but nutraceuticals and specific sound frequencies. And I really believe we should extend this to look at infrared light. One of the companies that I have on my website is called Lumen Photon. And they've done a lot of the original research in the last 25, 30 years on using pulsed infrared frequencies. And I believe that if we could tune those frequencies to the right harmonics, it would be bioequivalent and amplify the effects of the sound, and it would improve our success rate, too, even dramatically, and also taking bioactivated nutraceuticals, because we know, doing things like muscle testing and vole testing, that these modalities are actually picking up on this scalar harmonic effect in our world, which is why...
From an atomic level. Atomic, from the very beginning. When we did our project on genes with mitochondrial DNA,
right,
we found it wouldn't work unless we added the proteins to it, which made the whole system work. And I'm convinced the proteins are much more important. And when we look at anti-aging and we look at what's going on with that and depleted soils and all these allergies, that runs us right back to wheat, depleted wheat, depleted food. I think this idea of create a problem, you know, make the food bad or depleted and then sell us vitamins. I think that's an all planned thing to make us sick too. So we're not only fighting this stuff from a frequency level, we're fighting it from the economic level of people who deliberately make bad medicines and that kind of stuff, when you could look at this by frequency and you wouldn't have the side effects. You would know what was going on.
Yeah, in other words, what should really happen is someone should get a voice print analysis, let's say a phonon maser analysis, and then be able to directly code that to which nutraceuticals would help their particular condition.
Absolutely.
And what things we need to put back in the soil. For example, if you look at our wheat, our winter wheat in 1993 compared to the calcium content of wheat in 1947 had dropped to less than half. That's only just one mineral. Most of our soils now are being depleted of selenium, chromium, all kinds of other trace elements. So it's not surprising, especially when we have heavy metals like lead and depleted uranium, we have an explosion of diabetes, hypertension, and other diseases. This is one of the solutions to that.
Xanthine is the commonality. We can take four or five different conditions and put them together mathematically and look at the commonality. Xanthine is a commonality for diabetes, heart disease, and arthritis.
And now, how would that work? How does it? You're talking about xanthine oxidase?
Yes, it's what the body produces as a byproduct, and when it can't deal with it, or when it gets in a stress, whether it's high, low, or whatever, the xanthine goes a different direction, morphs, mutates, and then you end up, depending on your weaknesses, with either diabetes or heart disease. But that is where it takes off. When you follow all of those back, they all take you back to the numbers, the frequencies for xanthine.
Now, did you find a coherence between xanthine and chromium or vanadium? Because chromium,
yes,
polynicotinate and organic chromium and,
yes,
vanadium have amazing capacities to reverse almost immediately the insulin resistance that is tied in with the xanthine.
Well, the major issue is lactate dehydrogenase, or again, mutated milk that we're not able to use, particularly people who have A blood types.
Right.
And for all the thyroid stuff, it goes back to a commonality of vitamin D, well, linolenic acid, vitamin D, and selenium. And selenium is the conversion factor for T3 and T4.
Absolutely.
And the soils here in Ohio are just depleted of selenium, and we are like the thyroid capital of the world.
Yeah, you know, the solution to that, believe it or not, is right here where I'm living right now in Halifax, Nova Scotia, Canada. It's kelp, selenomethionine, and the dulse kelp from Nova Scotia is one of the purest in the world. And what it does is, if you get it in one of our company's ecological formula mix, a very inexpensive kelp, selenomethionine, and most people don't realize if it's not presented in a bioharmonic form, that means an organic matrix, the body can't absorb USB chemicals because the literal sound or the frequency from the infrared harmonics, the cell can either absorb it by pinocytosis, grab the microparticle and pull it in, or if it's a dissolved material, it can't actively transport it unless it's the right frequency.
Absolutely. And that's where all the minerals come in.
Right.
We look at fatty acids, and then the minerals, the D is a cofactor for minerals. Minerals are cofactors of vitamins. Vitamins are cofactors to enzymes. And herbs. People who use herbs, when we decode them, they create a whole, harmonic by themselves.
Yeah, in other words, you need an orchestra of nutrients to help you. And ideally, this is what my wish list. I would wish that I could have a little device I could buy from you that I could set by my laptop. I could do a voice print reading something off. You could do an analysis of the frequency pattern and the sound like you talked about. You could then send this, let's say, you know, digitally and then convert it back to audio and then analyze it and tell me what I need to do. Do I need to go to my doctor or a nutritionist? What kinds of vitamins and things will help?
That's already possible.
Yes. How do you do that? That's why I'm leading into this to try to find out. How do you do that?
Right now, people can get in touch with the office, or we'll set it on the Internet, or how they can send us WAVE files. And we take it and just put it through a computer program. It takes less than 5 minutes. And we teach people to do this for free because we want everybody to have it. But we have a nutrition program, muscles, toxins, pathogens, hormones, pre-vaccinations, heart,
Yeah, whether you have a child with autism or you're diabetic or you've got polyneuropathy or vascular disease, you can use this, and then you can go back to confirm with your fancy tests if you want to, do high-speed CT if you think you're calcifying your vessels or if you've got a toxic imbalance that's caused by chronic Lyme disease or whatever, you can go get the fancy immunotoxic test. And in fact, I tell people, go do the test with Sherry at soundhealth.com and then come back to me and ask for the genetic and the advanced test to consult with your health professionals, and I'll tell you where you can get to these very advanced labs. But what you'll find is a congruence of the data, and it's so elegant what you're able to do that it's going to revolutionize the whole idea of health, wellness, and literally make a non-toxic world.
Well, it's soundhealthinc.com or vocalprofiling.com.
Uh-huh. Soundhealthinc.com or vocalprofiling.com.
Yeah, Inc. like incorporated.
So, in other words, if I was to give you, say, a five-minute voice print on a WAV file, I could go to your site, and you know, I'll send it to you, and what's the charge for doing an analysis and then sending back me the data on what I need to do?
Okay, we don't need anywhere near 5 minutes. 1 minute will do. 30 seconds will do.
Really?
And it depends on what you want. If you just want a nutritional analysis, I can't remember. And all of the practitioners charge different. I think we charge $55 here, and it's about a 10-page report.
Right. And that report will then come out, and of course you've computerized this so that your templates take those frequency patterns and analyze it and generate a specific template.
We would lots rather sell you the program and train you so you can do it on your own and you never have to come back to us.
Wow.
That's a better deal for us. And a lot of the programs we've been giving away for free.
Now, is this the most advanced one? Of course, obviously, you've got more advanced things than you're giving out to these big drug companies, right?
Oh, absolutely. We're not that dumb.
Yeah, exactly,
well,
yeah.
And they asked me to come and see them, and I took some papers, but I took them limited information.
Yeah,
and that's what
because some of these technologies, to be honest with you, some of the stuff I worked, I took care of people that I thought it was a jet aircraft parts plant in the late 80s, early 90s, and it turned out it was directed energy weapons. And, of course, the stuff I discovered 23 years ago, I certainly didn't want them to find out what I knew because they would just turn it into another nasty weapon.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the kinds of things you've discovered, I don't know if you're, I'm a kind of a sci-fi buff, so I like the movie Dune.
Uh-huh.
And they talk about the wording way, which is, you know, on Arrakis, where they were able to use these devices to actually send out specific sounds to use as their main weapon of warfare. Mm-hmm. They're using these non-lethal weapons right now that actually generate infrasound and other sound frequencies now. And the government has these placed in Najaf, Fallujah, and over in Iraq right now. They're not only microwave, but sound and electromagnetic using these harmonic frequencies. So I don't want them to be used for evil. I don't have an intention that anything that I've discovered ever turns into a weapon to harm people or living things.
I think somebody's going to do it that way no matter what. Just like microwaves can cook your inside, we know a sound that can reduce your temperature and put you in hypothermia.
Right.
That's a weapon. But it's also good for kids that have high fevers. So no matter what you do, somebody's going to find some crappy way to make it a bad thing.
Right.
So again and again, no matter what we do, even with voice analysis, I think if it got in the wrong hands, it could be used for screening for insurance and HMOs. And so if you have this tendency, then you're not going to get insurance.
So literally, they could literally have you speak in a voice print, and that could be done on a phone or on a videotape. A phone, does the phone give you enough clarity of the sound to actually generate something?
Yeah, the phone can give us data about your personality, and it can also tell us if you're lying.
Really? So you could actually use it for screening for pre-employment, for health. So if you don't want to have unhealthy employees, you could use that. But that would be another invasion of your personality. It's like giving your DNA to the government, which I think is another horrifying invasion of privacy. It needs to be private and for your purposes only.
But we cannot screen out sociopaths, people who really think they're telling the truth. We've not been able to screen those out yet. But there is a definite thing that happens in your voice, and I'm going to announce it on your show first.
Good.
The amplitude modulation goes out of your voice. And now watch these commercials carefully, and
right,
you'll be able to hear it. You know this guy that's an exercise, John Moskal or something like that, and he turns sideways, he's got all these nice ripped abs, and he says, "Those diet plans never worked for me. They won't work for you either." He's lying. There's no amplitude modulation in his voice.
Right.
And there's another lady that says, "Are you worth $55? And it's some diet pill. She's lying, and she knows it.
In other words, because her voice is not going up and down,
yeah,
that she's lying, because, in other words, the lack of modulation up and down indicates a lie. That's very easy. And see, that's something that people can just start paying attention to.
Yes, absolutely. And the people that are using this in the government and airports, you go through an airport and you see this little mirror hanging on the side of their glasses, they're testing your voice. We sold that piece off to a company.
What do you mean by mirror? You mean they have a mirror on the side of their glasses?
Yeah, it looks like a little bicycle mirror that you see behind you.
Right.
They're really testing your voice.
How would they use that mirror to test your voice?
Because it gives them a little signal. They've got a microphone, and if you have no modulation, you get red, and they get a red signal.
Okay, so they have a microprocessor in there, and if there's no modulation in your voice, then there's a little red light that goes and says, uh-oh, we got a liar here.
And if you're scared, there's more modulation. So go act scared instead of just doing your lie thing.
So they're actually using these with screeners now?
Absolutely. And you know the sorry thing about it is they won't give it to the public because they say there will be chaos if the public could tell who's lying.
Okay.
Yeah, that's amazing. Sherry, we definitely need to have you back on the program. We have such a huge area to discuss. I really appreciate you coming on the program tonight. And I definitely want to get this software so I can become an expert on this. And then I'd like to collaborate with Dr. Fred on advancing some of this technology dramatically into nutraceuticals and diagnostics to help you in any way.
Been fascinating.
Yeah, I really appreciate you coming on the program. And do listen, we're going to be back with some more amazing guests like Sherry Evers. Do listen to your program. And what time is your program now?
It is 6 Pacific, and it's got all my contact information on the info. Don and them did a great thing by putting all those profiles up there.
Yeah, it's amazing. And what days of the week are you?
Sunday, and it's called Sound Health.
Sunday at 6 p.m. Pacific Time.
Sound Health.
Thanks very much, everyone, and do check us out. Do listen. We have some amazing guests coming up tomorrow night. We have Mark Hazelwood. We're going to be talking about Planet X, and we're talking about solar changes to our world. You need to be aware of these facts. You need to be aware of what Sherry Edwards has discovered with Sound Health and Sound Acoustic. What did you call it now, acoustic medicine?
Bioacoustic biology.
Bioacoustic biology. And this is going to revolutionize our world like Carlson has discovered with Sonic Bloom. You need to check it out and check out Sherry's website, which is?
SherryEdwards.com. That's Sherry with an A, S-H-A-R-R-Y, Edwards.com.
Great.
There's videos on there they can download, lots of good stuff.
Excellent. Thank you, Sherry. Thank you, Don and Doug over at BBS. And take care, everyone. And we'll be back tomorrow evening at the same time.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.